If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
All right, Meat, what are we fighting over today?
We've got more Cardinals tickets, but today we've got a returning winner. Brad is back.
Sounds like a pretty cool guy.
Another guy.
Yep. Brad.
But that means our prize goes to our online stream at 101ESPN.com. And on Saturday, July 27th, the Cardinals host the Astros. That night, 30,000 fans, 16 and older, will take home a replica 2004 National League Championship Mystery Player Ring. It's courtesy of Edward Jones, and you can get your Cardinals tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions.
All right, let's bring in that returning fighter. Brad, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Right on. You ready to take on Megamind for a second day in a row?
I think I got something sitting in his seat yesterday, so hopefully, yeah.
All right, let's do this. Once again, I mean, this is it's flashback week, so there might be a sports question. There might not. I don't know. I haven't read through this yet. All right, here we go. Question number one. As you know, Brad, the Spice Girls were a huge hit in the 1990s. Now, there were five members. Sporty Spice, Posh Spice, Ginger Spice, and Baby Spice. What was the name of the fifth Spice Girl? Was it Scary Spice, Skinny Spice, or Salty Spice?
Scary.
Question right. Number two. What city did Michael Jordan play his minor league ball in for the 1994 season? Was it Binghamton, Birmingham, or Bradenton?
Birmingham.
All right, Brad, question number three. The movie Toy Story, it debuted in 1995. What is the name of the boy who owned Woody and Buzz? Is it Alex, Austin, or Andy?
Austin.
And question number four. What event was Tiger Woods' first career major win? Was it the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, or the Masters?
I believe it was the Masters.
All right, let's bring in Randy. Brad, how we feeling?
So-so.
All right.
Well, yeah, like yesterday.
All right, well, look, so-so worked out yesterday. We'll see about today. I got to tell you guys, the whole three Brad thing is confusing the hell out of me.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's happened multiple times where somebody said Brad, and then I looked, and they're like, no, not you. And then Randy was like, no, not you either.
Well, what do you think, Brad?
I think it's been great.
Brad?
What? Brad?
Yeah, no, me too.
Brad, what do you think?
Not enough of us.
There you go. There he is. Hey, Randy, say
Brad.
Hi to Brad.
Hey, Brad, how are you?
No, not that one. Say hi to the Brad.
Hey, Randy.
Oh. Hey, Brad.
Hey.
No.
Brad,
no,
how are you doing?
Brad.
Doing well.
Brad on the phone.
Gosh. Oh, yeah, back to Brad on the phone.
Oh, Brad on the phone. Hello.
Hello.
Randy?
Yes.
You ready for this?
As ready
you know
be.
The deal, right? It's flashback week. It's 90s day.
Yes.
I can't confirm or deny that there may or may not be a question about sports in this.
No worries.
Yeah. Maybe there might or not be. You're a monster. You're a monster. All right, here we go. Question number one,
yes.
Randy. As you know, the Spice Girls were a huge hit in the 1990s. Huge hit. There were five members of the Spice Girls. Sporty, Posh, Ginger, and Baby Spice were four of them. What was the name of the fifth Spice Girl?
Posh.
Sporty, Posh, Ginger, and Baby.
Which one is David Beckham's wife? Was that Posh?
That's Posh.
Indeed.
I think the other one might have been Scary Spice. Do you want to be my lover?
Go ahead, Randy.
I know the Spice Girls.
Do you?
You betcha, dog.
Man.
What's scary is that you may or may not have nailed that.
And he didn't even need the lifeline.
I got this.
Question number two.
Hold my beer.
Sporty, posh. Oh, it's Scary Spice. I know that one. Next question. Question two. What city did Michael Jordan play his minor league baseball in for the 1994 season?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Question number three, Randy. The movie Toy Story debuted in 1995. Yeah. What is the name of the boy who owned Woody and Buzz?
Woody and Buzz. I'll know this if I use the lifeline. I should know it.
Okay,
off
we've
the top of my head,
we've
go
got
ahead.
Alex,
no.
Austin,
no.
Or Andy.
Andy. Andy's written on the bottom of the shoe of Woody.
Sure is.
Oh, or, no, it's written on the bottom of the shoe of Buzz, I think.
I had
Andy.
Both of them, maybe if that's it. I had a teammate in when I was with the Twins organization in 2012, and dude looked exactly. I'll pull up a picture in a minute. He looked exactly like Buzz Lightyear, like it was like
funny.
The chiseled chin, like everything about him was Buzz. And on a daily basis, either Kyle Gibson, who's playing for the Twins mm-hmm. now, or myself would tape Andy onto the bottom of his shoes.
That's great.
And every time he gets, it's like, again? Seriously? Yeah. Again?
You know, Kirk Reeder's nickname is Woody.
Is it?
Yeah.
I like it.
You can see it, right?
Yes, now. I like it. All right, Randy, question number four. What event was Tiger's first career major win?
97 Masters.
We got a winner. Well, sorry, Brad. He got you. He got you 4-3. I mean, this was a tight fight. Both of you fellas know your Spice Girls. Proud of you. It is Sporty, Posh, Ginger, Baby. Want what I really, really want. What I really, really want.
Want.
Cast a jam.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, man, but they made millions. It's provocative. Nobody knows what they're saying. But it was Scary Spice was the fifth one. Birmingham, Alabama is where Michael Jordan played his minor league baseball in the 94 season. Farm
his
team for the White Sox.
Bus.
Bought a whole bus. That was pretty solid.
Yeah.
It is Andy. Andy was the name of the boy who owned Woody and Buzz in Toy Story. Went and saw the new one recently. It's awesome. It's great. And Tiger's first career major win was, in fact, the 1997 Masters. Brad, thanks for playing, man. Try again.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Brad with us on 101 ESPN. Great to have Brad with us. That was fun. It's 4:10. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler.
You like that song, Randy?
Do you want to be
Spice Girls?
Yeah, I do. I'm
more of a Hanson guy.
Did you have a favorite Spice Girl?
I don't know what they look like. Hmm. But David Beckham probably didn't pick a bad one, so I'm going to go with that one.
It's Posh.
Posh.
Yeah, she's
is
nice.
Is Posh number one?
Actually,
Bob.
I think who's the Sporty? Is it Sporty? No, not Sporty.
Scary?
Not Scary.
I don't know.
I don't either. I got to go look him up.
Many of us here in the St. Louis metro area have been affected by the recent flooding, and one of the people that has been affected, one of the groups of people, are the people at Crystal Springs Quarry Golf Course and Driving Range. They just opened the driving range again after the floods on the 4th of July, and now they're trying to raise money. They've got a GoFundMe. They're going to lose $500,000, and we want to keep the quarry open. So a couple of things you can do is, number one, go to GoFundMe and open up that website, and you can contribute to the Crystal Springs Quarry Golf Course there with the GoFundMe, or you can get involved with a golf tournament that they're going to have at Persimmon Woods, and all you have to do is call Nash Haxel at Crystal Springs Quarry Golf Course, and they'll get you set up to participate on the 15th at Crystal Springs Quarry. But let's do everything we can to help out a local, a great golf guy in Nash Haxel and Crystal Springs Quarry Golf Course. Next up in the fast lane, yesterday I killed it in the 1980s version of Dead or Alive. Can BT and Ronge resurrect themselves today in the 90s?
Wow.
We'll find out with a game of Dead or Alive next on 101 ESPN. Oh, we're just jumping around in the fast lane today.
Very
Do
good,
it, Randy.
Who
sings
very
ESPN.
Good.
You got it. Finish it off. Who sings it?
If I hit a lifeline.
House of
Pain.
Yeah. All right.
There you go.
Well done.
Thank you. Hey, yesterday we played a little Dead or Alive, probably a little more dead, and that was for the 80s. Today it's going to be tougher because it's for the 90s, and generally when people that were famous in the 90s died, they were younger. So, but if it was a singer, I think we can pretty much say dead, right?
And
well,
they were.
Well, yeah. It depends what genre.
Okay.
And they were probably 33 at the time.
Probably.
Or 27.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Sizz has the Dead or Alive prospects for us. We have to, and he'll keep score. We have to say dead or alive, and we get extra credit if we can say what the dead people died of, right?
Right. The cause of death is one extra point. That's so awesome. We'll get this going.
We're gonna start out, but can we start out by saying sorry?
Yeah, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, with all due respect,
well,
get it all out there.
It's flashback week. There's fine. Not a ton of content.
It's history, right? I mean, it's
enough time has passed.
Well, we'll make somebody history that's probably still with us.
All right, Randy, here we go. Number one, Kurt Cobain.
Oh,
come on.
What the come hell? On.
Hey, we got to start out somewhere.
A dead overdose / shotgun.
No.
That
actually,
was a really
it
weird
was
ding the second time.
He's only half right. The cause of death was Courtney Love. That's what you meant.
Oh,
yeah. Also yeah. True.
Wow. Right.
Extra credit. Give that man
do
a point.
For that or no?
5 points right now.
Go
all
for
right,
cool. It.
All right. Raji.
Yeah, buddy.
Chris Cornell.
Oh, dead. I believe a hanging. Yeah.
That is correct.
He died in the last 5 years, right?
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Chris
less
Cornell,
than that.
Obviously, Kurt Cobain, same way. These guys are so freaking talented.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Chris Cornell's voice. Unreal.
One of the great rock voices of all time.
Anybody with the initial CC, is, right?
Oh, man, who's next?
Good question.
Oh, yeah, might have been a K in there.
Well, Kurt
was
a K.
K, right. Yeah, yeah.
BT. Scott Wilden.
Who the hell's Scott Wilden?
Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, he's dead.
You got it.
And I'm going to go with overdose.
I believe it's.
Well done.
And it's Whelan.
Is it Whelan?
Oh, yeah. No wonder.
It's not Wilden.
I
it?
Trust Mike Ryder. Mike Ryder says Wilder.
All right, Ron sure loses
to some hipster
Ronge
show every night.
Ron loses points now. No points
no,
for Ron.
No, we don't lose points.
You guys are off to a good start. Everybody's tied at three. Round
everybody's
two.
Dead.
Randy.
Yes.
Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
She died. And she died of... It wasn't like an overdose, I don't think. I think it was like a natural causes kind of. I don't think she died because she was in a burning house. She had burned down Andre Rison's house.
All his shoes.
Yeah. I'll go with the natural causes thing. Cancer? No?
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Car accident, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. She burned down Andre Rison's house because she was mad at him.
Well,
big house, too.
I think it's reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 Come on.
That was Tron out.
Gosh.
What the hell?
If she would have had a right eye, she would have been fine.
She would have saw it coming.
All right. Terrible.
Yeah.
Too soon.
All right, Ron. We're
going to get emails.
Bradley Nowell. Nowell. Nowell.
He was in, he was what?
Sublime.
Oh, dead. Dead, for sure.
From?
OD.
Yeah. When in doubt.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good card to play.
Is everybody dead from the 90s?
Yeah.
Well, that's a tough decade.
Everybody. BT, round two, Dimebag Darrell.
Dimebag Darrell.
Pantera.
Oh, he's still alive, man. Damn it.
Anybody know how he
Pantera's
died? No
dead
extra
too.
Points, but
OD.
No,
shooting.
Randy. On stage.
Oh, why don't I remember
that's
this?
That's right. Oh, I totally forgot about that. That's right.
What
that's a
show.
Tough way to go out.
Yeah. Ouch.
All right, heading into round three. Randy
well,
has
concert,
front
wasn't?
Row.
Randy has 4 points. Ronge with 6. BT also at 4. Round three, Randy. Selena.
Oh, dead.
How?
I'll say she was. Hold on. So they made a movie about her that I didn't see the end of.
Dang it.
J-Lo was in it.
Classic. Well,
that's important.
I'll go shot.
Yeah. Shot by a fan. Yeah.
Was she really?
Yeah. In a hotel room?
J-Lo played her in the movie, I think.
It actually might have been, was it somebody who worked for her?
Yeah, I think so.
It was like his her.
Hit some items to show her or something like that and went back.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not a great day.
All right, Ranj. Eazy-E.
Oh, dead.
From?
From a promiscuous lifestyle. Yes.
That's well correct. All right,
BT.
AIDS.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
His name was Eric, too, by the way, right?
Eric Wright. Question number three, BT. Tupac.
Well, come on. Well, Tupac is no longer with us.
He is. Allegedly.
And he was shot. We don't know for sure.
By Suge Knight, I think.
Yeah.
That's just my conspiracy theory. On the strip in Vegas, as I was driving to a game that I had. I remember hearing that on the news.
Wow. Was it you?
It wasn't me. No, oh. I was my parents were driving me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
so it wasn't us.
Would have been difficult.
No, got an alibi.
Every day we do Would You Rather at the end of the show. A quick one here.
Yeah.
Would you rather, if murdered by Suge Knight, be shot or run over twice?
Shot.
Yeah, me too.
Being run over by totally a car allegedly. Is not good.
Conspiracy theory. Suge's a bad guy, though.
One of the worst people in music history, I think. Maybe the worst. Suge Knight.
We get a couple texts, by the way. Selena was murdered by the president of her fan club.
That's what it
was. Not a big fan.
Yeah.
Can't trust anybody.
A huge fan.
Well, how are you going to get...
I can't have you.
Yeah, I mean, that's... There's no bigger compliment, really.
All right, guys, we've got a close one.
Terrible.
Final round. Ranj is leading the way, 9 total points. BT and Randy are tied at 7 apiece.
Ooh, this is a big round.
So it all comes down to this. We don't have a tiebreaker, so somebody better win here. Randy.
Yes.
Biggie.
Oh, Biggie's dead.
What the hell?
He's shot also.
Because everybody died. I mean, there's not a ton of options here.
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
Shot by Tupac.
No.
No. No. Wasn't that.
All right, Ranj.
Puffy. It was Puffy who did it.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Ranj, Tony Gwynn.
Dead. Mouth cancer.
No, you give him his real one now.
Yeah. Ranj, you could win it with this one. The walk-off.
Yep.
Aaliyah.
Dead. Too many bags on the airplane.
That's
what happened.
I think actually.
It was like at the airport, like I think 200 meters
took
from
off
the runway.
Yeah.
Oh, we too low.
Yeah, we do have the pilot's name,
Oh.
Yep.
Fired.
It's old.
Somebody fired.
Really awesome.
All right, BT, playing for pride here.
By the way, have we had a single living person?
I don't think so. No, we're killing everybody.
It was a tough decade.
I don't even think we're playing this game as much, so just having fun.
Lane.
Who was it?
Lane Staley.
Oh, yeah.
Alice in Chains.
Oh, yeah, did. I'll go with gunshot.
Yeah, always good with the gunshot.
Or it could be overdose. Lane, what would you do to yourself? You did drugs.
Oh, you know we did.
Cocaine is a drug.
It was a speedball, which is apparently a combination of cocaine and heroin.
Oh, it's bad.
Probably not good.
He was like a heroin. He had lost all of his teeth by the end.
Did he?
Yeah, he was in bad shape.
Huh.
It was bad.
Yep. Ranj, you won, baby.
Yep.
12 for Ranj, 10 apiece for Randy and BT.
That was a good fight.
We'll do it all again tomorrow, guys.
I can't believe we did that.
It was the 2000s.
I can totally believe we did that.
I hope we don't have a serious segment next.
Somebody said Courtney Cox better watch out.
Oh, the CC?
Yep.
She's probably okay.
Yeah.
How's Courtney Love?
She's
anybody
alive?
Know?
She's probably, yeah, she's alive. Of course
well, I know
she is.
She's alive, but she was off her rocker.
Oh, you don't get less crazy. as the years go on.
You think?
I don't think so. No, she's a mess.
Well, I'm so glad that we could kill everyone.
Yeah. Thanks, Big Sis. Coming up, Lee Smith dominated the mound in the 90s, and on his way to breaking the MLB career saves record, the new Hall of Famer and former Cardinal is next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. George Grand with the call for the Cardinal Network at the time. And Lee Arthur Smith had the save, a great St. Louis Cardinal who's making his way to Cooperstown and the Hall of Fame with Cardinal World Series champion Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. I'm Randy Carricker, and we head now to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line to welcome to the show the new Hall of Famer, Lee Arthur Smith. Lee, great to have you with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing you guys.
We are doing awesome. Hey, we are not too far away from induction day. I believe it's the 21st. You know very well. How's the speech? Is it done? Was it difficult for you to do?
Well, the speech is done. Not that it wasn't very. It's tough to leave. You always see someone out. What you try to touch all the bases and make things simpler, not get up and.
How much ad-libbing do you think you're going to do while you're up there?
Probably a lot, man. Probably a lot, man. It's it's a small town, but it sort of reminds me of my hometown. But just to get there and talk to some of my buddies from the minor leagues and that I play with.
Nice. Lee Smith with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And we're going to try to get a better line so that Lee's phone doesn't break up as much. We'll nail that down.
Lee's got way too much good stuff, man. We can't be missing every couple words.
No, we can't.
He is he's such a nice guy, too. Like a physically imposing human being, mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say. But like one of like the sweetest dudes around.
And the perfect demeanor for a closer.
It worked out quite well.
He would handle a loss just like he would handle a save, a walk-off or a save. He was the same guy. Came to the Cardinals in 1990 for Tom Bernanski, had 27 saves, led the league in 91 with 47 saves, led the league for the Cardinals in 92 with 43 saves. And then in 93, the Cardinals traded him when he had 43 saves, moved him on to the Yankees, and he wound up saving 33 for Baltimore in 94 and 37 for the Angels in 1995. A prolific career. And when he retired, had more saves than anybody at 478.
It was unreal what he was able to accomplish. And the crazy thing is when you look at all the success that he's had and how many years he played in the big leagues, only had the opportunity in two seasons to play in the postseason and to like have that guy on that biggest stage. That's a shame.
It is a shame. And you always see that's the time that you want to see the best at that particular position get a chance to demonstrate what they can do. When you're closing down like an LCS game or closing out a World Series, that's when you want to see a closer really get a chance to operate. And it's kind of a shame you got so many good ones and they don't ever really get an opportunity to do it. And especially somebody like this who had this long of a career.
And one of the reasons that people give for him not making the Hall of Fame to this point is that 1984 NLCS against San Diego when the Cubs were up 2-0 and he allowed a home run to Steve Garvey. One pitch in all of those years, and people are saying, well, that should keep him out of the Hall of Fame, which is pretty ridiculous.
If that's how we're grading things, there's a lot of people you got to yank out of the Hall of Fame because a lot of people could have some bad days. There are people that have had bad postseasons mm-hmm. in general. That's a tough way to do it. I think bulk of work might be the best play here. And fortunately, we finally got to that point with Lee Smith.
And Lee rejoins us now on 101 ESPN in St. Louis. Glad we have a better phone line with you. And we were talking about how much you're going to ad-lib the speech.
Well, you know what, man? It's one of those things, man. I had a young man there to help me out with that, and I probably was done with it. And I probably been done with it in probably the first couple of weeks, man. But you know what? Like I said, you add and take a little bit out. But for myself, man, I want to keep it simple.
Lee, I was telling the guys what a great demeanor you had when you were playing. Whether it was a blown save or a save, you had the same demeanor every day. But I remember one home run in particular that Barry Bonds hit where he did a pirouette. Did that tick you off? It ticked me off as a fan.
No, because he's probably the best hitter in the game of baseball. And you have to know Barry. You know what? That was his personality. I was laid back. You know what? I never judged, you know, anyone. I just, you know, it was just one of those things, man, that that happened. I don't pay any attention to it, man. The guys have their own personalities.
Aside from him, is there anybody else that you – well, I'm not even – you may have really liked facing somebody like that because of the challenge, but is there somebody that you just did not like to go up against?
Well, there was a guy, he wasn't a very good hitter, but I don't know what he hit me pretty well. You ever heard of a third baseman for the Phillies named Mike Schmidt?
Yeah.
Rings a bell.
Pretty tough out, man. He, this guy was unbelievable. You make good pitches on him, man. He still would keep the hands back, and he was probably one of the first guys that I noticed, you know, in the league that had the power to hit the ball out opposite field, you know, and he did it consistently. He was just, it's just that those guys like that, like him, they always talked about the offense, and they were talking about how good a defensive third baseman he was.
Yeah, no shame in Mike Schmidt getting you every once in a while. Lee,
yeah.
Right? 478 save, you had 802 games finished. I would love to hear from your perspective. What is it about getting the last out of a ball game? Like what does that mean to you?
Man, that's the world for me, not just for myself, but for the ball club. You know, because you have a situation where if a team go out and they get their butt kicked in the fourth inning and say, hey, man, we got a butt kick in the fourth inning. But you have a guy go out there and work the tail off for 3.5 hours and you come in about 10 minutes and screw it up. That has a really, really heavy burden on the ball club itself for a longer period of time. But for me, to get in that last out, there were so many guys that I saw and had that were great setup men. It's just something about that 27th out, man. It was tough to do because I think that other team, those hitters, they didn't want to be out there while the other team was high-fiving and they trying to run off the field.
So one of the best qualities of a closer is somebody who, if they do give it up in the ninth inning, they're able to let it go and then move on to the next day. How are you able to do it, or how were you able to, or is it just kind of natural to you?
Well, you know, I look at it, the game of baseball, and it was a game. You know, you go out there. When I go out there and I could, you know, go home that night and put my head on the pillow and say, hey, man, I did the best that I possibly could. Not start to second-guessing yourself because, man, any guy, anybody, in any job that you do, you start second-guessing yourself. It's only the negatives are going to compile. So I always just thought about, you know what, if I go out there, I make a good pitch, the guy hit the ball, that's why they call it baseball. I threw it, he hit it. But I always wanted to try to keep myself on an even keel. When I'm doing good, not to get too good, too high, so I pat yourself on the back. And when you get beat up a little bit, don't get too down on yourself. But it was tough. It was a tough thing. So many guys didn't handle it different. I was one of those guys where I remember Rick Humble telling me, man, you better interview when you give it up. I'm like, I don't want to get that interview that much. But it was one of those things. I didn't go hide in the training room when the game was over. If I did well, I talked to the guys, and if they got me, I talked to the guys. So I've seen a lot of guys and heard of guys that would go in the clubhouse and hide from in the training room when the game was over if they didn't do well. That wasn't my personality, man. I always thought that I was going to be a man enough to face it when I was doing good and a man enough to face it when I struggled.
Lee, you only got a chance to play for Whitey for a couple of months here in St. Louis. You got a chance to play for Joe Torre. You played for a lot of really good managers. Was there somebody that for you was particularly fun to play for?
Well, the weird thing is it was Joe Torre, man. He was one of those guys. He didn't say a whole lot. He just gave you that look on his face, you know. Joe, he gave me, I think, one of the best compliments I ever had, you know, coming from a manager. He said, myself and Mariano Rivera was the only two pitchers that he had at closers, all the years that he managed the team, that he just give the ball and walk off the field. And I always said this about Joe, you know, he had that look. You didn't want to go in his office, man. He just had that look on his face that he could, you know, no, he could go and he kill a whole family and go have a big breakfast. So you didn't want to go in his office, man. He just had that look, but he was the nicest guy I ever met. And if not just because I'm talking to someone on this interview from St. Louis, in St. Louis, that was my favorite guy to play for.
Speaking of just St. Louis and coming to St. Louis, you spent 8 years in Chicago. It was 2.5 years in Boston before you got traded in May of 1990. When that trade went down, what were your emotions?
Oh, man, I was skipping in California because I was with Boston. And matter of fact, they were talking about a trade, and the team flew me all the way to Oakland, and they traded me. And the weirdest thing happened, man. I was hanging out with my friend over at his house. I had a buddy named Kenny Brackens. I was hanging out with him in Hayward, California, and I get the call, and I get back to the hotel, And I come walking in. I had this thing about wearing cowboy boots. I come walking into Joe Morgan's office. I had on red cowboy boots, jeans, and a red ostrich belt. And he looked at me like, man, do you know something? And he said, well, you've gotten traded to the National League. And I started walking out. He said, don't you know the one in the where? And to go to St. Louis, man, was just like the best thing that could ever happen to me. A great city. I always loved coming there as a visiting, as a visiting player. But to go there, that was like probably one of the best things I think that happened to me. You know, from they had Jeff Redden, so it was going to be a one day he closed, next day he closed. That, I didn't think that thing was going to work, you know. But I never got a chance to try it. But Jeff Redden is a great friend of mine. But going to St. Louis, man, it was awesome. I was so happy.
You spent a lot of time your home ballpark being Wrigley, and then being Fenway, and then Busch Stadium, that Busch 2. What was your favorite park to pitch in? And then on the other side, what was the one you least liked pitching in?
Well, my favorite was St. Louis, man. That part, I think you could take Wrigley and Fenway and put them both in the outfield in St. Louis. And as a pitcher, you want real estate, man. I love pitching in the old Busch, man. I felt comfortable out there, man. I remember Pedro Guerrero was hitting launching balls and he flipped his bat like he had a home run and didn't even make warning track. So I was one of those guys, man. I really love that. Plus they hit the ball in the air. Willie McGee caught it. They hit it on the ground. Ozzie caught it. So it was like, you know, I just felt so comfortable there. And I really didn't have a ballpark that I didn't really like pitching in. The worst one for me probably was the old Kingdome in Seattle. Not because of the team, but it just had that whole city had this like dreary thing over it, you know. It was always seemed like it was raining there, and you couldn't see. But and we go there. It seemed like every time I'd go there, part of the stadium was falling. You know, so that was probably the one place that I really not just because of the Mariners or that whatever, but just the ballpark itself.
Lee Smith is with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. He was magnificent for the Cardinals here in the early 90s, had a Hall of Fame career. He'll be going into the Hall of Fame later this month. And everybody that plays sports, Brad Thompson was a member of that 2006 team here in St. Louis, Lee. Everybody talks about the relationships. And one thing that I know you did when you played is develop relationships and had a lot of fun with your career.
Oh, God, yeah, man. Everywhere I ever played, I'm simple, man. I'm sort of a laid-back type guy. And everywhere I played was, man, I always hung out with the ground crew, guys at the fire department, things like that. And I got a few of my ground crew buddies from Chicago. And Boston is going to come to the induction, so I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
That is awesome. That is really cool. Now, how did that start for you? Was it just hanging out, coming in late into the bullpen, and those guys were always out there?
Yeah, but you know what? It started in Chicago. The first person that I met in Chicago, I'm walking through. Back in the day, they didn't have the limo come pick you up at the airport and bring all your bags in. So the first guy, I'm coming walking into our clubhouse, carrying all my bags, and there's a ground crew fella there by the name of Rick Hughes for Chicago. Now he runs the scoreboard. And he was the first person I met. We just hit it off, man. Matter of fact, I was out having lunch with him today. And we've always been friends since the first day getting here. And same thing went on with the guys in St. Louis, and had some people in Boston that I have friends with. But it always just me. I was just a type laid-back type person. But the ground crew guys was all there, always there, because back in the day, we got there at 10 o'clock in the morning for batting practice and stuff as pitchers, and they were setting up the field. And not because of that, because I'm a simple person, and I like keeping things simple, and that was the guy that I really like hanging with.
With such a long career, there have to be just all kinds of moments that are your favorite or that are fond for you. Is there one that is your absolute favorite, though?
Well, I got to say, it's got to be that Ryan Sandberg game against the St. Louis Cardinals, matter of fact, where he hit the home run, two home runs off of Bruce Sutter. That was one of my favorite memories of games. A lot of people don't realize I was the winning pitcher in that game. And Willie McGee had already – Willie had hit a double off me like an inning before, and they had already give Willie the player of the game when Sandberg came up, you know. And to come back, and many times you don't find many guys as closers, as you well know, face there. I got twice in a game, and that happened to me and Bruce Sutter a couple times there that day. That was probably one of the most memorable moments, and being the winning pitcher at the All-Star game in Oakland.
That was a 13-inning game, right?
Yeah. I was like almost the last guy left. I pitched three innings in that game.
A closer pitches three innings in the All-Star game.
Yeah. I was like Tony got left almost. As a matter of fact, I pitched three innings. I actually think Sid Fernandez closed it. But it was just me and him was the only two guys left in the bullpen.
And that's interesting. I want to touch on how different it is now because you had a lot of saves that were well over an inning. You saved 478. If you would have pitched your whole career with just the one inning saves, how many would you have had?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. It's amazing, man. I just think about how many games that, you know, you had a three-run lead and didn't put the closer in back in the day, things of that nature, man. But you know what, man? I don't like to think of that, you know, scenario because – I think now some of the guys are a lot sharper because they don't throw 100 innings or 85, 90 innings in there. They got more setup guys that they can go to, things like that. But I just think the longevity is the one thing that we look for as closers now because I work for the Giants, and you find so many guys that come through and they're great for 4 or 5 years and you don't hear from them anymore. So I think that's what they're trying to work on, maybe keeping those guys around for 10, 12 years.
Lee Smith, we're so happy that you're making your way to Cooperstown for the Hall of Fame. Thanks so much for taking some time with us today here on 101 ESPN. We appreciate it, and we'll see you soon here in St. Louis.
Hey, sounds good, man. I don't get back to St. Louis enough. Thank you, guys.
Take care. That is the great Lee Smith, now a Hall of Famer closer who had 71 plate appearances in his career.
That's a lot of multiple innings, boy.
That is. Suter had over 100. He had something like 105 at-bats in his career as a closer, which is amazing when you think about a guy today who's the best closer going right now. Kimbrel. Kimbrel probably, he'll probably wind up with zero plate appearances in his career.
Just not how it works anymore.
No, it's not. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, we want to hear from you. What was your favorite sports memory of the 90s? So many. McGuire hitting number 62. Hull scoring number 86. The kick six for Nebraska against Mizzou. If you're a Nebraska fan, that might be one of your favorites. We want to hear from you with the mic drop and the 101 ESPN app next on 101 ESPN. Doo-wop, doo-wop, doo-wop. We want to know what your favorite memory of sports in the 1990s was, and we appreciate you sending in your mic drops with the 101 ESPN app. Let's hear from Steve.
My favorite 90s sports moment was definitely the Mark McGuire chase, but specifically the last 2 days of the season, people forget he was at 66 home runs, and I remember playing baseball, and while on the field, they were actually playing the audio over the loudspeakers and got to hear him hit 67, 68 on Saturday, and 69 and 70 on Sunday. Awesome moment.
It is a distinct possibility that this is his last at-bat of 1998. Take a good long look. This is going to have to last you until next March in Florida. First and third, two out. In the field! Number 70! How much more can you give us, Big Mac? Number 70!
What an amazing weekend. That was phenomenal.
That was my favorite of the 90s. Well, I guess the entire season, really, if you think about it, because the record breaker that day with Sosa being in the building, it couldn't have been any more perfect. And then leading up to the final weekend of the season where he did that.
And when McGuire hit number 70, the Rams were playing down the street against the Arizona Cardinals, and everybody in the Rams audience at the Dome was listening to the baseball game, and they made so much noise that Tony Banks had to call timeout.
That's so cool. That is so cool.
It was amazing. Paul is next on 101 ESPN.
For some reason, and don't ask me why, but the first thing that comes to mind from the 90s is Game 4 NLCS. Dimitri Young corking that one over Klesko's head.
Into left center field, pretty well hit. Over the head of Klesko. Two runs are going to score. Young headed for third. Safe with a triple.
That was fun. That was pretty cool, that 1996 postseason, until you got to Game 7. Actually, Games 5, 6, and 7, none of them were very much fun.
Yeah, ran into a bit of a juggernaut there.
Yeah, they lose 14-0 and rocked.
I think it's my mom's fault. She was at one of those games, the one that should have been the clincher for them.
5?
Yeah, that's her fault.
Yeah, you can blame your mom. That's fine.
I've been blaming her this entire time.
How about Steven on 101 ESPN?
I miss the great rivalries and the way ball was played back in the 90s in the NBA. I was just thinking back on Jordan winning three titles, walking away from the sport. Comes back, plays 82 games, averages over 30, almost 43% for three-point land. The team goes 72-10, and he wins another title, the first of three more. I can remember John McEnroe saying that was the greatest feat he'd ever seen in sports, a guy walk away like that and come back and dominate the best athletes in the world like he'd just been there the whole time.
The Chicago Bulls have won their sixth NBA championship, and it's their second three-peat.
The rivalry talk is real, too.
Yes.
Like, that is different. I mean, that was real. There was always a respect between, like, the superstars, your Jordans, your Birds, Magic Johnson. Those guys, like, hated each other when they were competing, though. The Pistons back in the day hated everybody. Just Lambeer just elbowing people left and right. Like, those were real-deal rivalries.
And by the way, I would like to point out that MJ did not push off.
Thank you for making that clear.
He did not.
Clean Eric play. Is next on 101 ESPN.
One of my greatest memories of the 90s is I worked at Whitmore Country Club, and these four guys walk in. It looked like they just came from a street fight. They all had black eyes. They ordered a bunch of beer and said, put that on Brett Hull's account. I said, yeah, right. He's like, no, seriously, put it on his account. So I was just going to give it to him because I didn't want to get in trouble. Well, he signed a ticket. And it was Al MacInnis. And I'm not sure who all was with them, but I know they're all hockey players.
I'm pretty sure one of them was Ed, actually.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so.
Oh, those were on him. Those were Ed's days. He was in his prime back then.
And Derek on 101 ESPN.
I was 10 when the Rams won the Super Bowl. I know that's technically 2000, but that 99 football season, just the magic of watching that with my dad and grandpa and the whole family, and I think that's what made them leaving and the manner in which they did it so gut-wrenching, because you had built these big memories as a kid around falling in love with football with your family. But best memory of the 90s has to be the Rams winning the Super Bowl.
It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
That was a pretty magical season coming off of 4-12. And then you think about 95, they were 7-9. 96, they were 6-10. 97, they were 5-11. 98, they were 4-12. 7-6-5-4 in wins. And then they pop up and win 13 and win the Super Bowl. That was pretty awesome.
Everybody saw it coming.
Everybody.
And, you know, afterwards, thank God they never went back to, like, 7-9.
Yesterday was 7-9.
Oh.
We missed it.
We did.
Some 7-9 BS.
Yeah, it was. Hey, thanks for your mic drops. We do appreciate it. Next up, Liberty, Missouri police were on the hunt for a criminal last week, and thankfully they were able to sniff him out. Oop. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.